You're tuned in to the Health After 30 podcast. And if you've ever felt like something in your health is not quite right, but you've gone to the doctor, you've done all the tests, and you've only kind of been told that there's nothing wrong with you, though deep down you kind of know that something is not quite right, then this episode is for you. Hey, I'm Alana Bonneman, naturopath and holistic nutritionist. This podcast is dedicated to reclaiming your health by harnessing yourself as your biggest asset. Get ready, because this is where we stand up for your body's ability to heal, go against outdated norms, and say yes to change, creating true and lasting success all from the inside out. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Health After 30 podcast, and let's get started. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Health After 30 podcast. Today, I'm delighted to have Dr. Anthea Todd with me on the show. She's the founder of Female Fundamentals, and she has a background in chiropractic, a dual master's in women's health and reproductive health. She's got expertise in functional medicine, functional neurology, cardiometabolic health, gastro health, and immunohormonal health. So her scope is quite broad. In this conversation, she goes through how to understand that there's nothing wrong with you innately. There's nothing wrong with you. Your body is not a problem to be solved. Rather, it's the guide in your health and well-being journey. She teaches us kind of how to tap into our intuition, how to understand what our red flags, she also goes through beige and green flags, but what our symptoms and signs are telling us, and how we can use these female fundamentals to address them. So much about what she talks about resonates in the way in which I practice, that it's never just one thing, that it's a holistic approach to listen to your body, understand that your body is trying to thrive. It just needs to be put in the right environment. And for those of you who are struggling to get to your feel-good weight, where you feel like you've plateaued and you kind of can't get any further, where you're feeling that something perhaps is not quite right, head over to alanabonneman.com. You can book in a wellness chat with me where we can kind of start to unpack what's going on for you and what is holding you back from thriving and feeling at your best. If you're new around here and you haven't yet already left a review or a rating, please feel free to do so, as this makes my podcast a more discoverable. It encourages me to continue making these episodes. And as you can see, with more growth, I get more amazing guests on, which makes this podcast make even more impact. All right, let's get into today's episode with Dr. Anthea Todd. Today, I'm delighted to have Dr. Anthea Todd on the Health After 30 podcast. Some of you may know Anthea as the doctor who gives women's health advice, sometimes from the comfort of her skateboard. Anthea, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm currently not on my skateboard. Believe it or not, I'm not always on my skateboard. I do like to sit down occasionally.
So how did you get on your skateboard? How did it end up being female health from a skateboard?
Well, I was sitting down, and as entrepreneurial people do, they're often at their computer a lot. And I was also studying. I was finishing my second master's in reproductive medicine at the time. And I'm like, I just need to go outside. And I just moved to Queensland, sunny Queensland. What am I going to do? I got to move my body. I'll go for a ride on my skateboard. And I was thinking, I have to create something for Instagram because I haven't put something up in ages. And it was just like, nothing was coming. I'm like, I'll just go for a skate and something will come, or I just will forget about it. And then something came to me literally whilst I was skateboarding. I'm like, I'll just do it now, because when something, I don't know about you, but like when something hits me then, and I have to do it then.
Gotta get it out. Forget.
So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And then everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And Dr. Tony Hawk, or like, so I was like, oh, okay. And then I just, yeah, I was like, oh, I don't really know whether I want to do it on a skateboard. And then it just sort of came and I started doing it, and people clearly love it. So it's good. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know whether I want to be known as the doctor on the skateboard, but also skateboard. I love it because it is just me. Like, it's, I want women's health to be fun and a little bit edgy, and also just like, it doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah. Somehow relatable. It kind of brings together this, like, we're going to talk about female health, where some people kind of go, oh my God, such a big topic. And then you're like, yeah, but we're doing it from a skateboard. So it's kind of fun, guys. And okay. I love that. I love that mix. It kind of gives it a relaxed viewpoint. And I think for me, like the biggest message that you bring home with everything you do is like, let's empower women to listen to their bodies. Like your body's not the problem. It's the solution. I think you say that several times. Like there's nothing wrong with you. That is literally
the tagline of my book. So my book's called What's My Body Telling Me? Because I really wanted people to understand literally what is your body telling you, and also understand that your symptoms aren't the problem. Like they're there for a reason. I tell a story in the book, like there's a condition where people are born where they can't sense pain. And we don't want pain, right? Pain isn't good. No one's like, yeah, put me in pain. Like no one says that, right? Apart from some crazy people now that love doing ice baths and all those things. And maybe some sadists. Anyway, we're not getting into them stuff. But when we can sense pain, it's good because we know, oh, don't jump from that height because you'll break your ankle. Or maybe you've got internal bleeding, or maybe you've got like there's something underneath your toe and that's causing an ulcer to form, and then that's going to cause systemic infection and all these things to happen. We need to be able to sense the pain. It's good. It's telling us something. So it's the same thing with all of our symptoms, whether our hair's falling out or whether we've got cracks in our tongue or whether we've got stretch marks, like cracks in your tongue and stretch marks. You're like, what's the big deal with them? They're not going to kill me, right? But it's like, no, but they are actually telling you something. It's not something that the health and beauty industry tells you. It's like, oh, fix them with this oil and do this thing. It's like, yeah, but also why is your body doing it? Like it's not working against you. You might not like these things, but it's helping you, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I think oftentimes we think it's normal, you know, like, oh, I'm having a baby, I'm pregnant, stretch marks. It's normal. So it's okay. You kind of don't even think about it perhaps. Mm-hmm. I want to go deeper into this, but I think firstly, before we go deeper, I'd like to know kind of what got you here. Like what got you to the point where you felt the need that you needed to really bring this to the surface to help women understand their bodies better?
You know, it's really interesting. You never think about what you're doing as you're going forward. It's only when you look back and you go, oh, wow, actually that all sort of makes sense and links together. So basically I'm from a family of chiropractors. Both my parents are chiropractors. I'm one of five kids. Two of my other siblings are aunties and uncles on both sides, cousins on both sides. Like there's a lot of us.
Oh, yeah.
So, and also my grandma became a naturopath, just like yourself, Alana, when she was 50. Nice. Like, so lots of, basically my upbringing was surrounded by natural healthcare. And it was very much this, well, your body is telling you something. So what's it telling you and what do we need? It versus like, you've got a headache, get rid of it, have some Panadol, have whatever. It's like, oh, why do you have a headache? Do you need your neck adjusted? Do you need more water? Is it too noisy? Are you overstimulated? Do you need more sleep? Like, what is it actually
what's going on? Right? Yeah.
So that's sort of the upbringing that I had. And then when I got to school and people would be like, oh, I've got period pain. And like, oh, do you have any like pain relief in your blazer pocket or your school bag? And I'd be like, what? Like that just seems so different to me. And that's sort of like what you alluded to before about that sort of normal and common, right? Like we confuse things for normal because they're so common, because that's just like sort of what's in our environment. So my environment growing up, the conversations around the dinner table were very, very different to a lot of other people's. It was like, oh, I've got this patient, they've got a heavy period and we've tested these things and we've tested that thing. What else are we missing? Like that was the fun game that I used to play. So like when people like women's health is scary, I'm like, oh, it's fun. Like, what is your body trying to tell us? It's sort of like this like fun game that I can play, right?
Let's figure it out.
So it's empowering for us all to sort of have that sense and know that our body has our back because we're all alive. Like if you're listening or watching this, we know that your body is working enough to be able to do that, right? So I started doing that, and then I was tossing up between doing studying medicine and or studying chiropractic. And ultimately, I chose chiropractic because I wanted to help people before they got to the point that they needed medication or surgery. Mm. I was lucky enough to observe one of our family friends who's a general surgeon in my country town. And I was like, this is amazing. Like seeing emergency cesareans or people get their gallbladder removed, all this stuff. Like I felt like I was on Grey's Anatomy. I'm like, this is so cool. But also like, I don't want people to get to this stage. I want to help them before that
before because they get there,
just sort of like removing it, cut, paste, see you later, now go. And it's like, yeah, but the underlying cause for all these things is still there.
Still
You're just
there.
removing the symptom. So that's why I chose chiropractic. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm going to be able to help so many people. And I've heard it all my life. Like, everyone gets so much help from my parents and all the people in my life that are health practitioners. And then I started and I was helping a lot of people, but I wasn't helping this group of people. And the group of people happened to be mostly women, and they would be women ranging, they would be over 30, but also lots of people under 30 as well, like basically from puberty to postmenopause, really.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately in medicine, we've sort of been like, oh, women, that's them over there. And maybe we'll just take this thing or have a hysterectomy because it's your uterus that's causing you hysteria. Like that's like, that's how ingrained it is. So thankfully it's changing now, which is great. But there was sort of this gray space, I call it the lost in between space, where a lot of women were falling through, where me as a chiropractor, I was taught to care for people how we're trained, but then also if people came in with hair loss, dry skin, they were gaining weight for no apparent reason, they had headaches or migraines, they had gut issues, you name it, it's like, okay, this isn't your realm to help, you need to refer out. So it's like, okay, most of the time, like, you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is out of my scope, I'm going to refer them to use a medical lens. And then most of the time, thankfully, they'd come back and be like, oh, they did all the tests and they said there's nothing wrong.
It's fine. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
But you're not fine.
Exactly. And then so then the patient's in there going like, what the fuck? Sorry, I don't know whether you can swear on this podcast, but I swear.
Go away.
So they're sitting there like, okay, I don't know what to do. Either I'm going crazy and I just have to accept how I feel as normal, because everyone feels like it, and they've done all the tests and objectively there's nothing wrong with me. Or I have to go, well, no, that's bullshit, and I do feel like there's something wrong and I do need help. But now I have to go wade through all of the content that is that you can access via Google, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you're looking at. And it's like, okay, where do I even start? This is so confusing. So we get so overwhelmed because we're looking for the fix outside. We're looking for the, oh, it's the ice bath that's going to fix this. It's the breath work. It's the green detox juice. It's the whatever. Instead of going, hang on. What is my body telling me it needs with the symptoms? And then, yes, these things are helpful, but not for everyone. Like, there's no nuance. It's sort of like everyone needs to do ice baths.
Do this.
Everyone needs to do breath work. Everyone needs to do fasting, which is, I understand, like, creating content online, a reel, you have 90 seconds. Like, how do you get nuance into 90 seconds?
Get in there, and get a solution.
You can't be like, oh, but maybe not this and maybe not that. It's like,
and everyone's individual, so maybe not for you, but everyone else. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really, it can be really confusing. But that was really how I got into what I'm doing now, because I would care for these people. I'm like, okay, well, maybe the doctors in my small hometown don't know what they're talking about. I didn't, because I was like, well, they definitely do have something going on. I know the test is showing it, but maybe they're missing something. So then I went and studied women's health medicine and reproductive medicine. And what I found was the doctors did know what they were talking about. They're very, very smart. It's just that medicine as a whole, when you don't show up within their markers, and their markers are looking for, do you need medication or surgery? Because that's the tools in their tool belt. Then they say, there's nothing wrong. Instead of saying, you don't need medication or surgery.
Yeah, you're within range, it's fine. And until you're not in range, it will stay fine.
Yes, even if you're feeling off. And the ranges change, and it's taken on an average. So, and the ranges are different in different countries. So it's like, okay, well, if I got this taken in Japan, then you'd say there's an issue, but I get it taken in Australia, there's no issue. But in Germany, there was an issue 8 months ago.
Let's go. So
it's like,
how what? Confusing.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, okay. My main thing is I really want to help women understand how they can trust their body and go, okay, and also then know what type of help they need. So I also studied some energetic practices as well, because sometimes, like, as a chiro and even with the medicine, doctors will tell you, they're like, I don't know how, but this person, like, miraculously.
It's a medical miracle.
It's like, how? That doesn't make any sense, right? So that's sort of like with that energetic. I think of energetics as the things that you can't see create what you can see. So it's all those underlying patterns, thoughts, beliefs, all of those things. Like, you think about if you played a playlist of really negative thoughts and you had to listen to that for the whole day, how are you going to feel?
How would you feel?
But then if you played really positive ones, it's like that literally changes your physiology. So we all have those unconscious patterns playing every single day.
Yeah.
And that's playing out. And when they're out, then we get dysfunction in that functional lens. And then if that dysfunction stays for a long time, then we get chronic illness, and that's when we need medicine. So it's really helping. What I love to do is go, okay, let me use all the lenses to look at what your body is trying to tell us and what type of care do you need. And it's not necessarily that you need one or the other. Oftentimes you need a mixture.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, that's
a holistic approach, I guess, to kind of unturn every stone and make sure that every little part's functioning.
Yeah. And really using the bot, like coming from the body out as opposed to the modality in. Because I think that's where, and we can often get hung up on our biases. Like, it's like, use your body, not your bias, to choose what you need. Because a lot of people, as a chiropractor, there's a lot of people that hate us. There's a lot of people that love us. Same with medicine, particularly with what's happened in the last couple of years. There's so heaps of people are like, I'm never going to a doctor ever again. I never want to see them. I don't trust them. And then there's other people are like, I only trust them. They have a little sniffle. They'll be like, I need antibiotics right now. Yeah. So everyone has a different bias, but unfortunately that can be the undoing, as opposed to just going, okay, what does my body need? And yes, I might be really holistic, I never want to take medication, but you know what, you've had pneumonia for the last 3 months, maybe you might need it. Antibiotics.
Yeah.
So it's really going, just let go of what you have to do and just allow your body to tell you what it needs.
Yeah, listen to where it's at now for what it needs in the minute. And also, like, I guess having long-term goals as well. Because you're right, like medication, there are some points where you really do need it. You really need it. And of course, long-term, you don't want to stay medicated. So it's like bringing in then other plans. So I guess when we're listening to our bodies, when we're in this state of something's up, my hair is not the way I want it to be, my skin's breaking out, I can't shift weight, PCOS, like you name it. It's just like a list of things that women experience. Where does one start with that? And I think sometimes, like, listening to your body, like, we see these red flags, but it's really hard to kind of, I think we've kind of maybe had a disconnect. So first, like, how do we listen to our body?
So I would highly recommend getting my book, because it literally tells you everything in this.
What is your body telling you?
Yeah, what's my body telling me? That's the title of the book. You can get it on Amazon everywhere. So basically, I think in terms of, we're all, without getting too woo-woo, we're all energetic beings, right? You know how sometimes you're walking down an alleyway and you're just like, oh, I just have a bad feeling. Or you walk into a room and it's silent, but you can just tell whether people have been fighting before you walked in. Or whether people calm. Yeah, exactly right. Or it's calm and happy, or it's just neutral. Like, you can sense that. Yeah. Obviously there's body language and all those things, but there's that energetic component, and you can sort of think of that as your GPS. So where you actually want to go, exactly what you were saying before, like those goals. So in order to be able to connect to that, you have to be able to connect to your body, to your intuition. It's really interesting, again, thinking back to like how you got to where you are. A couple of years ago, I started I joined this sort of personal development group thing, and it's literally radically changed my life. A lot of the people that were in it are my best friends now and all these different things. But in that, I remember one of my first questions was like, yeah, but how do you know whether it's your intuition or whether it's your mind, whether it's fear? Like, how do you know the difference?
Right?
And particularly around health, it's like, so confusing. He's like, oh yeah, I should do that. It's like, should I be doing that, or am I doing that because everyone else is doing that, or I'm fearful that if I don't, then this is going to happen, particularly people around food and exercise and like everything, right? So the thing, your intuition doesn't have a reason. So you know when someone says, oh, why did you do that? You're like, I don't know, I just did it. It's sort of like when I actually decided to study my master's and things, I wasn't thinking, oh yes, and then that will lead me to this, and then that will lead me to this. I'm doing this because of this. I'm just like, I don't know, I just feel like I need to do this. It wasn't like that's just the reason why I did it.
So it's not getting you somewhere. I'm not doing this because it's going to get me somewhere. I did it because it feels right.
Yeah. It's not so when you can reason it, or when you can put logic to it, that's your mind. And sometimes it's your intuition first, and then you can be like, oh, and then you can see it from a different perspective. Like, oh, that actually does fit in with things.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just like, this actually makes no logical sense for my life. Like, I don't think I should be doing this, but there's just something that is like, I'm feeling drawn towards it to do it. Yeah. So some things that can help people connect to their body, because we are very, very disconnected. Sometimes we're disconnected because we've experienced big or little traumas, and our body has disconnected for a reason. Again, always remembering that your body is looking out for you. Every single thing that it's doing is doing for a reason. It's not doing it to get back at you. So whether it's your hair falling out, whether it's that you feel numb or disassociated, whether you feel depressed, whether you feel anxious, whether you've got gut issues, whatever it is, your body is doing it for a reason. I know it might suck to hear that, but it's actually really good when we can go, okay, my body's on my side, so what would this be trying to tell me?
Yeah, so it's like, thank you for telling me this.
Yeah.
Sorry, but keep going.
It's a real kick in the teeth. Like, I've had, I got adult onset acne. I'm like, oh, you look in the mirror and you're like, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Like, no, I hate this, right? So it's a mix. But really, when you actually can tune into that and go like, okay, I know my body is actually really looking after me, and it is amazing. Like, the automatic things that it's doing every single second, there's trillions of reactions, and it's keeping me alive, and I can move my limbs, I can breathe, I can hug my friends, I can, it's like, this is amazing what it's doing. And these things that are coming out, it's actually telling me something. So to get connected to your energetics, like, there's lots of different things you can do, but one of my favorite things to do is literally just ask my body, is there anything you'd like to let me know? Like, in a nice neutral tone, not like a, is there anything you'd like to let me know? It's like,
come on now.
That's very different. It's very like, okay, that voice. And now I can actually tell the difference between my body's voice and my voice in my head, like the internal dialogue. So in every morning I put on, it's a nice sort of like classical track, it goes for about 10 minutes, and I connect actually in my body. I can feel myself coming back to my body. If people haven't felt that before, they might seem really weird, and me 2 years ago would have been like, this chick is whack. But when you can, it's like, oh my gosh. And you're like, oh, I'm home. Like, you actually just feel in your body. You're not in a rush. You don't feel like you're 50 steps behind when you've already woken up. Like, it's just like, okay, you're in your body. And then if you can't get there, you can do things like practice taking a breath in and a breath out, and imagine you're breathing the first breath, you're breathing in from your skin and out from your skin. The next one, you're breathing in from your stomach and out from your stomach. The next one, you're breathing in and out from your fingernails. Like, those things will help you go like, oh my gosh, I'm becoming more and more aware of my body. So that's just building the awareness. And then when we build the awareness, then we can connect to it. But then it's really making sure that you can find safety in your body, because a lot of people don't feel safe in their body. And then also trusting your body. So it's both of those things really help you connect to that energetic practice.
And then
when we're talking functional, so when we can be like, oh, okay, I'm becoming attuned to the energetics. Now it's like, okay, how do I become attuned to what the hell is my hair actually telling me? Or what is my skin telling me? Or what is my gut telling me? And I can't give you 10 years of health practitioner training, but in my book I talk about, it's, I call them red, beige and green flags. So I don't know whether you've heard about like red flags with dating. So people are like, oh my gosh, that's a red, like someone sends you an unsolicited dick pic, it's like, that's a red flag, don't bring in the person, right? Or like they're mean to a waiter or something like that. So we get red flags also from our body. So red flag from our body, when we learned it at university, it's like, oh, that's a red flag, send them to emergency or they need medical help. So it's like, you've got a really high temperature, red flag, right? There's something more serious going on. You're losing weight for no apparent reason. That's a red flag. There's something going on. Then what we can do is we can move to beige flags. So beige flags,
beige flag? Because that I don't hear in dating. Like red flag?
Yeah.
No, what's a beige flag?
Beige flags in dating is an example. So this was actually one of my housemates who I was not dating, not interested in that way at all. But we got in the car and he started driving an automatic car with 2 feet. So he was using his right foot in the accelerator and his left foot on the brake instead of just like using one foot. So in an automatic, you just use your right foot, right?
One foot, yeah.
And I'm like, and I was just like, oh, so a beige flag in dating is sort of like that ick where like your whole body, like you see something, you're just like, oh, you just don't like it. Like his body sort of recoils. That's yeah. like a beige flag in dating. Like it's not something you're like, don't go near that person. They're really not good news. It's yeah. just like, I don't like that, but it's not necessarily a deal breaker. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of your body, we get like stretch marks, cracks in your tongue, your hair falling out. They're not signs that you need medication or surgery and there's something really yeah. wrong, but they are warning signs from your body being like, hey, you need to listen.
You're something lost. On the periphery is happening.
Exactly. And yeah. you're lost in that space between. And there can also be, we can also be lost in that space between when we get diagnoses of like, say, IBS. It's like what is, IBS is the diagnosis of exclusion.
Yeah.
It's, well, you don't have Crohn's, you don't have ulcerative colitis, you don't have diverticulitis. We've done all the scopes down your mouth, up your bum. We've done all the blood tests, all those things. No, you don't have anything. You have IBS because we want to give you a label. We want to help you.
Yeah. We want to diagnose you so we can, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So then, and also it's sort of when you're a patient and you've been trying to find the answer for something for so long, it's a really weird it's weird because you want someone to give you a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So I just want someone to tell me that I've got something wrong. What's wrong?
Yes. So I know how I can, yeah, these problems, they have a name, I can address them. Yes.
But so that's the thing. So there are those diagnoses that there are diagnoses of you're in those beige flags. You don't need medication or surgery. These are warning signs and there's multiple warning signs and we're just going to clump them all together and pop a name on it.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be the diagnosis.
Yeah.
But a diagnosis just makes it easy for people to understand what you're talking about. It doesn't tell you why you have it.
Collection of symptoms, PCOS or, endometriosis, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
But it doesn't say why do you have the PCOS. It's just saying that you have it.
This is, yes, okay.
Or why do you have the endometriosis? It's just saying that we have it. Because if we think, okay, PCOS, my body's trying to tell me it's looking out for me. Why is it giving me all of these symptoms and this myriad of changes that we call PCOS? Why is with endometriosis, why do I have all of this extra tissue that's uterine-like in different areas of my body? Why would that be happening? So that's where we go, okay, well, now let's look at function. When we're looking at functional, that's where sort of those beige flags come in. And the functional lens, I talk about what are called your four female fundamentals, and that's the name of my business. And basically, I came up with the four female fundamentals because from studying the medical side, and then also I went on and studied functional medicine as well because I felt like I needed another thing to do, obviously, because I'm crazy, but also because I felt like there were still gaps in my learning. It was sort of like, okay, well, this is great, but also this is really overwhelming, confusing, right? It's like, is it the microbiome? Is it your adrenals? What's happening what's happening with your hormones? What's happening with your thyroid?
Yeah.
It's like, where do we even start? Some people are like, it's all microbiome, everything. You can take it all back to microbiome. It's but
where? Depending who you ask, right? Depending who you ask will give you kind of an answer of this or that or the other. But it's a bit more than that.
How do you make it really simple and easy? And also, what impacts the microbiome? Like, what is the level underneath? And then what's underneath that? So what I've found, and I think I try as much as I can not have biases towards different modalities, as well as try and pigeonhole it's always a microbiome or it's always hormones or it's always thyroid, it's always stress.
Yeah. It's never just one thing. No. That's the whole concept of this whole entire podcast. It's like never one thing. You kind of need to take a holistic approach until you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be searching for one thing that's never going to tick the box.
I think it's being the middle of five kids. I have to be the one that was like, oh, I understand that perspective and that perspective. And it's sort of just like taking everything and going, oh, here's the big picture. This is what you need to know. So what I understand now is really when we come from our body, our body's main thing is it wants homeostasis, it wants balance. That's what it needs. When it has balance, our negative symptoms fall away and we start to get positive ones, right?
Would that be a green flag? Is that a green flag? Because you've got red flag, blue flag, and then that would be the green flag.
Green flags are, like in my book, I break it down for all green, beige, and red flags into different sections of the body. So say, for instance, menstrual cycle, what are green flags, beige flags, red flags? So a green flag menstrual cycle is, it lasts between 3 to 7 days. That is your body telling us it's all good, go ahead. So from a dating perspective, it's like they trip over and they laugh at themselves. It's like, oh, that's a green flag, right?
You're fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where really going like and understanding, oh, this is actually healthy. Instead of otherwise, if we don't understand green flags, we can go colorblind and confuse them and go like, oh, it's just this really common stuff is normal. It's like these beige flags are actually green. It's like, no, they're not.
No. Yeah. Okay. So when you put yourself in a positive, you're saying, you kind of came up the back then and said, so when you're coming into a positive state and you're feeling good and things are going well.
When things are going well, then what we need to do basically in this functional lens, like if I think about medical, functional, energetic, the three lenses that I use, when we're lost in that space between, we've got a lot of those beige flags, we definitely need functional help. And then the functional help, that's the health and wellness industry. It's really super confusing because what we do is we focus on the external thing. As I said, like you focus on the breath work or the ice baths or this diet or that diet or this miracle thing or whatever it is. And yes, they are helpful for a reason, but the reason is they're altering one or several of your four female fundamentals.
Yeah.
Because those fundamentals are actually the parts of your body that need to balance to get that balance. And then when they're balanced, everything's
good.
Working well, and then your symptoms start to become good as opposed to negative symptoms. Because all the messages from your body, they're either if you have energy, that's a message. If you feel fatigued, that's a message.
It's a message. Mm-hmm.
So they're both messages.
So these four fundamentals, I kind of like to think of it like your body wants to be in a good state. It just needs the right environment. So the way in which you talk about these four fundamentals, this is putting your body in that right environment to thrive, basically. So what are the four? The four are?
So your nervous system, metabolism, nutrients, and blood sugars. So a really easy way that I explain it is you can sort of think of it like a car. And your nervous system is the driver of the car. So a driver of the car, it's important to understand what's going on inside the car, aka inside the body. So your nervous system is sensing what your hormones are doing, what your blood pressure is doing, what your body temperature is doing, what you've eaten, like all of the things. It's like monitoring everything internally, but it's also monitoring everything externally. So when you're driving, it's like, is that a red light coming up? Is that a stop sign? All of those things, right? It's like, is that a kangaroo jumping across the road? Probably not in Germany, but in Australia. The nervous system is really important for understanding the internal and the external. So balancing your external environment with your internal environment. If something's off, it's going to alter. So something as simple as it's hot outside in our external environment. So our nervous system goes, it's hot. We need to trigger all of these cascade of events to change so that we make us sweat. So then we don't overheat.
Cool down.
Same thing if the external environment turns cold, same thing. Same thing if your external environment and you hear something that sounds like a gunshot, your body internally goes and it changes everything internally. Your adrenaline goes up, you're ready to run, you want to hide, you want to do these things. Yeah. So your external environment changes, so your internal environment changes, but it also happens vice versa. If your internal environment changes, it changes your external environment too. So they're both trying to balance. So then the next fundamental is your metabolism. Now, I'm saying these in these order because it's easy for me to explain it in this way. All of them are equally important. So not one or the other. As I said, you can tell I'm a middle child. I like to placate things. So
you're all equally important, guys.
Yes, exactly.
We love you all equally.
Yes. So the metabolism is like the engine of a car. So it's like the engine of your cells, right? So if you get in your car and you drive it really slow around the block, you could probably get out and touch the engine. It wouldn't be that hot. You'd be fine. But if you get in your car and you rev it and you race it around, you're going really, really fast, you wouldn't really want to touch the engine. So a lot of people think of metabolism as if you've got a fast one, you're lucky, you can eat whatever you want and not gain weight. If you've got a slow one, you look at a cupcake and gain 50 kilos. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, actually not necessarily the case. Weight and metabolism are linked, but they're not, they don't go hand in hand. So a stronger indicator of what's going on with your metabolism is really body temperature. There's a lot of other markers too, but when your metabolism is going fast, like the engine's going fast, you'll feel hotter. Yeah. If it's going slow, you'll feel colder. So you're always the person that has poor circulation in your hands and feet.
Cold hands, yeah.
Cold nose. You're the one that's like, is anyone else cold here? Like at the today, it's 20 degrees on the Gold Coast. I'm wearing UGG boots and socks, but I'm also wearing jean shorts and a long sleeve top. My body doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. But anyway, so it's really important to understand what's going on with your metabolism. But things like your nervous system going into a fight flight response will cause your metabolism to speed up. Like if I actually surprised you and said, hey, Alana, actually, I'm not in the Gold Coast. I'm behind you. And I jump out and say, rah. You'd be like, yeah. And you'd feel really hot. Like you wouldn't feel cold.
Yeah.
So when our nervous system goes into that fight flight response, our metabolism speeds up.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're in that fight flight response for a long period of time, our body's like, well, we can't keep driving and going. So I'm going to slow us down. So then we go into a slowed metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is always changing and adapting in our body. It's really good. We want our body to be adaptable. But if we're always putting ourselves in the same patterns, we're always going to go into the same pattern. Our body is, it's sort of like why you feel amazing when you go on holidays, because you've completely changed your pattern. You've completely changed what you're doing, or you change jobs, or you change where you live, or whatever it is. It's like, oh, my body feels
something fresh, like, new.
That's good. It means your body's adaptable. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So then the next fundamental is your nutrients. And you can think of nutrients like the fuel that you put into your car. But it's not just what you eat. And I know you'd probably speak about this a lot with your patients, but it's, okay, number one, are you putting the correct fuel in? Like, are you making sure, obviously, you're avoiding all of the trans fats, sugary foods, fake foods, all of that stuff? But then also, can that food get to the engine? So can you actually absorb it? So what's going on with the absorption? And then also, can you utilize that fuel? Like in a car, you don't just have petrol or diesel. You have to make sure you've got oil and radiator fluid and all of these other things. So for instance, someone that's chronically iron deficient, it's like, do you need more iron, or do you need to look at your other nutrients like copper and vitamin A? Or maybe you have low iron because you're not absorbing it, and that's the issue. Or maybe so you have to look at all components, and then the last component is obviously the exhaust, so you have to be able to excrete the nutrients too.
Yeah, which is the gut.
All of it is gut. So it's like, okay, what are you putting in or on your body, exposing yourself to? Can you absorb that? What's going on with the absorption? Can you actually utilize what you're getting? Do you have all of the other cofactors, and is that balancing? And then can you excrete it? And when your metabolism is slowed, if you think of your gut like a conveyor belt, things aren't going to be absorbing. They're going to be fermenting in the wrong places. It's like, okay, it's a bit mismatched. If your nervous system is wired, then your body's like, I don't want to eat anything, so I'm not going to produce the stomach acid as much. So then I'm not going to break down the proteins when they should. And then, so it's all this knock-on effect. So that's why we have to look at all of them.
Everything. Because one is actually affecting the other.
Yeah, they all interrelate. So that's why I'm like, I can't tell you that one is more beneficial than the other. They all play a vital role. And then the last one is your blood sugars. So you can think, if you think of your car like a hybrid car, has two main modes. It has the mode from the battery and the mode from the fuel. Same with our body. We have our blood sugars of what we're consuming, and then we also have our stored energy in terms of fat or glycogen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be able to move between those modes. We don't want to always rely on food coming in, because if we ran out of food, we know that humans can survive without eating food for a period of time because we have it on our body. It's great. But if we always rely on food coming in, then we're never accessing that stored fuel, and then we become more metabolically resistant, and there's all the knock-on effects with the other fundamentals. And then we get all these conditions like, well, now you have PCOS, now you have endometriosis, now you have whatever diagnosis you want to be given in this sort of space between phase. I think this is the frame, well, I believe, but this is my bias, this is the framework that we need for chronic illness, because chronic illness by definition takes time to come about. It's not something that's like, you've got it
happens
or you don't.
Overnight.
You can't catch PCOS overnight. You don't have it one day and then have it the next. It doesn't work like that. It's like, well, what's been going on with your fundamentals? Is it your nervous system?
Put you out of balance. Yeah,
because that's, with PCOS, it's like, okay, well, people talk, it's hormones, right? You've got high testosterone, but the high testosterone is actually coming because you've got the cyst there. Yeah. So why do you have the cyst there in the first place? You got the cyst there in the first place because your body didn't feel safe to release the egg. Why didn't it feel safe to release the egg? Maybe your nervous system was wired. Maybe your blood sugar was really high and that was causing this knock-on effect with the other hormones in your nervous system. Maybe you didn't have enough iron or nutrients to be able to develop that follicle enough to be able to ovulate or to be able to produce enough progesterone. So it's looking at, okay, well, yes, we've got this, but the hormone imbalance often can be another symptom of what's actually underneath the surface.
Yeah.
So basically the fundamentals are what I came up with after continuing to ask why so many times.
Mm, okay. And getting to the root cause of kind
exactly.
of what's...
Yeah.
And so with the four fundamentals, when we're like, because I think from an outside point of view, you can kind of think, okay, there's different areas of my life and they all need to be functioning smoothly for me to be feeling well. But then within each fundamental, that's almost like Pandora's box in itself, I feel. You know, it's like regulated nervous system, poor. It's like there's so much, you know, nutrition, blood sugar levels, like there's just so much within each. So, I mean, I guess this is probably what also you probably work through, but in each one, then how do you, or could you perhaps give us maybe a practical tip of like, okay, regulated nervous system, balanced blood sugar levels, like how it can look, like how simple can it be? Because it seems like you've got a formula to kind of break it down. This is what's happening. These are the root causes. So how do we apply that to our day to day without feeling overwhelmed and without feeling, oh gosh, I am broken.
and that's the thing. It's like, well, every day you eat breakfast, you go to sleep, you go to work, you're doing these things. So I say you just make your life female fundamental friendly. It's not like you're already doing things. You just tweak it. Yeah. So obviously for some people, the tweak is a lot bigger because their lifestyle could be way off. But for most people, it's like, oh, okay. And again, tapping into intuition, it's like, I literally just before getting on this, I jumped off a phone call with a patient. She's like, I'm doing all the right things, but my hair's still falling out and I've still got this, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I feel more energized and it's all working, but like, this is happening, but I'm doing all the right things. Like, okay. So when we actually, and what we came down to after talking to her and understanding when things started to come out, was her nervous system. And she knew that anyway. Like often, like when I describe the fundamentals, most people listening might be like, oh, that's the one that's mine. That's or I might have several of them, right? Because they all knock on, but one might be the main one that's triggering all of the other ones to domino effect. So first just tune in and go, okay, which one do I think is possibly mine? I have a free quiz on my website that you can take, which will give you a rating for each of them based on history questions. But then also I have a test your fundamentals on my website too, which is a hair tissue mineral analysis. I don't know whether you ever work with those, Alana, but it really helps you understand objectively what is going on with each of your fundamentals. So nutrients in particular, do you have heavy metals? Do you have low or high amounts of the 29 different nutrients that are in there?
Yeah.
That helps. What's going on with your nervous system? Are you in a fight flight or in a freeze fawn? Is it chronic? Is it acute? All of those things. So you can understand it from that perspective. But then in terms of, okay, what do I do? So if I just give you one or two things for each, your nervous system, I want you to think of like a traffic light. So you have a green, orange, and red light. Green light is like amazing. Your nervous system feels amazing. It's like flow. You feel creative, calm, curious, playful, pleasure, all of those things. So we can do all of the, like breathwork is amazing at moving us through the orange and red lights, ideally into green. Because sometimes when we're in an orange light, that's all the heightened emotions, right? It's like anxiety, fear, worry, all the things that are sort of feel a bit more like there's a more energy behind them. And then red light is more shame, depression, worthlessness.
Yeah, deeper.
It's more a heavy. You feel really heavy. So, and again, each of those parts of our nervous system are there for a reason. They're really helpful. We ideally don't want to stay stuck in them. It's like driving through a traffic, like you don't want to always be stuck at a red light. You don't want to always go through orange lights. And also if everyone had green lights, it would be a disaster.
Like, you wouldn't
always
want to
be in a green light, right? You ideally want to get green lights most of the time, but it wouldn't actually be safe to always be in a green light.
Yeah.
So when I think about green lights, it's often like helping people understand and connect to that feeling of what it actually feels like when you're in a green light. It's like that, like when you're on holidays and you finally get there and you're laying by the pool and it's like, okay, like that's a green light. Or you lose track of time, or you get that sense of flow. It's not like a push, worry, like go, go, go. It's like a, Oh my gosh, like this has been the most amazing day and time's just flown by and I had no idea, right? Yeah. So when we want to be in a green light, yes, doing breath work, doing ice baths, all those things do help. But sometimes we can get caught up in the, I'm doing all the right things, but it's not helping. Right behind it. So I always say, think about the things that bring you a sense of play and pleasure. Mm. Because particularly play, it is literally do things for play because just for the sense of doing it. You're not doing it for any other intention. It's like doing cartwheels in the backyard. What is the purpose of that other than to play?
Have fun. So, yeah.
Exactly, right. So when you do those things, because I think as adults, we don't.
I've kind of forgotten play. How.
Yeah. And we don't prioritize it.
Absolutely.
So thinking about pleasure and play, I would say, are the two main ones that we negate and we go, okay, well, I'm going to do all the right things for my nervous system. I mean, yes, they do help, but sometimes we can get stuck in another sort of like, I'm doing all the right things, I'm not getting any better.
Like, and that's also sometimes like, I'm taking this out, I'm taking that out, I'm having early night sleeps, I'm, you know, like doing all these things and focusing on all the things that we shouldn't be doing. Like I'm not drinking alcohol and I'm, you know, getting more sleep. But I think, enjoy, like bringing this, this makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Like bringing in the fun. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. When we focus on all the things we have to remove and like, obviously everyone's Instagram algorithm is very different, but mine is like full of all these different health people talking about different things and also, you know, funny baby videos and all those things. But we can make looking after our body another full-time job. It's like, oh, okay, well, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do that. It's like, it is exhausting to even just live. And then you're like, what the hell is even the purpose? It's like the purpose is to actually feel really good throughout the day and just actually enjoy living your life and feel alive. So it's like, what are the things that actually help me feel alive and that I want to do, not that I feel like I have to do.
Have to do it.
To live my life. And then you're like, okay, to live my life, I have to do these things. And it's like, so then you get to the end of your life thinking that you did all the things you had to live and you didn't actually live.
Stressful.
Yeah. So it's just like, just literally if I could leave one thing, and I thought about this when I was walking to the beach today, it's like everyone says set goals, focus on the future. It's like maybe today your goal is just to have a really good day and to just go, okay, what can be one or two things I can do for pleasure, play? And that can be so healing, particularly because a lot of us don't give ourselves permission to do that. It's like, you know, you're the adult now. You can do whatever the hell you want. It's like amazing. Okay, so that's what I was explaining for the nervous system. In terms of metabolism, playing around with temperature is really cool. So if you feel like, so say for instance, you're exposed to cold, what happens is we shiver and we try and warm ourselves up. So if you're someone that has you feel like you have a slow metabolism, trying to get your internal body moving faster, that engine hotter, doing things that will cause that will help. Vice versa, if you feel like you have a fast metabolism, because again, fast metabolism, everyone thinks it's really, really good. But actually, if you're in a car and it was revving really fast and high all the time, that's not ideal.
Yeah.
And it means that your nervous system's probably in a very heightened state. So caring for your nervous system will help your metabolism, vice versa. But playing around with things. So if you have a fast one, going in heat will help. Also metabolism grounding. So actually helping to ground your body to the earth and moving your body also help your metabolism. In terms of nutrients, it's sort of like the general stuff. Again, it changes for women at different times, but if we focus on, obviously you remove the crappy artificial things that everyone knows that they shouldn't be eating, or you minimize them a lot. Paying attention to if you're not using like sprays and herbs and all fake things, obviously, but also in terms of proteins, fats, carbs, if we just take generally the main macros, obviously making sure we get enough fiber, but the main thing I see is we don't get often enough protein, and when we have enough protein, that helps our metabolism and it also helps our nervous system, because proteins actually break down into smaller components called amino acids, and those amino acids actually help to make our neurotransmitters amongst other hormones. Also your protein, your fats and your carbs also break down into different components to make different hormones and enzymes and things in your body. So ideally for most women, if you can get 120 grams of protein in the day, that's really good because it's also going to be helping all of your other fundamentals. Yeah. So that's when you're like, I don't know what to do. It's just like trying 120 grams in. It's very difficult to try and do that if you're vegan or vegetarian and you want to try and keep your calories in check at the same time. You have to consume a lot of plant-based things to be able to get that amount of protein. So, yeah, I haven't you can do protein powders and things, but obviously there's other crap that's in them and all of that stuff. So ideally, eat meat is an easier way to do it.
Yeah, it's the most bioavailable. I also, I mean, I understand the ethics side of it, but I'm also from a nutritional standpoint. There's just some things that you can get from animal products, which are unparalleled to others.
And then in terms of like, if you feel like you're a slow metabolizer, having more, less fat and more good healthy carbs and proteins is better. If you feel like you're a fast metabolizer, then having a good balance between protein, fats and carbs is generally best because fats are good, but if you overconsume it can slow your metabolism more. And then in terms of blood sugars, I don't know whether, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the name of it. It's called Glucose Goddess is her name.
Jesse.
It's a sugar.
Glucose
Goddess is.
Yeah.
It's not the name of the book. I can't remember. Glucose Revolution is the name of the book. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things you can easily do. So it's like, okay, if you're eating, go for a walk afterwards, activate your muscles because your muscles help to soak up that sugar that you've just ingested. Even if it's a really great balanced meal, it's still going to have some sugars in it, which is great because that's what our body uses for fuel. If you activate your muscles, that will stop the peak and trough. Also, if you have a higher protein and fat breakfast as opposed to a carb heavy breakfast, then your blood sugars will be more balanced across the day. There's been studies where I might butcher the percentages, but I feel like it was between 50 and 70% of people that had a mental health disorder of some kind, depression, anxiety, and they changed their breakfast to a more protein and fat heavy breakfast as opposed to a carb centric one. And their symptoms reduced by 50 to 70%, their mental health symptoms, because they weren't going through blood sugar spirals the whole day. They were more regulated across the whole day. So those are a couple of things you can do for blood sugar. There's lots of other things. But it can just start simple. And you might be someone that's like, I eat amazingly, I'm doing the other things, but it's like, it's the pleasure and play thing that's it. Or you're like, I'm amazing at doing the pleasure and play things. I have a great time. But maybe you're just a little bit too lax with your diet and that's the thing that's coming up. Or maybe you haven't supported your metabolism and there's lots of things that can impact it. Maybe you've been sick and that's altered the metabolism, all those things. So
yeah,
a lot more information. It breaks it down a lot more succinctly in the book, but and also I do stuff on Instagram and things like that too, but just really looking after those. And then that energetic component is like that GPS of your car. Like, you've got all the parts of your car working amazing, now it's like, well, where do you want to go? And sometimes we don't ask ourselves, like, what do you actually want? And when you ask someone, like, this is what I ask in my one-on-one calls, I'm like, okay, so what do you want? Okay. I don't want to feel tired. It's like, yeah, but what do you want?
What you don't want.
Yeah. I said, what do you want?
So leg kicks, cartwheels in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that's the thing. It's going, oh, if I could actually like create whatever I want, like where is my GPS actually heading? Because that is where you're going to go.
Yeah.
Every single time. Like you tell someone, don't think of, like, look around the room and find everything that's brown that you can see. And you're like looking, and you're like, okay, what's red? And you're like, I didn't even see anything.
It's a bunch of brown stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like you literally are only going to go on what you're focusing on. So it's just really going, okay, what do I want? What are those unconscious beliefs and all those things that are coming up? And then helping to clear them and, looking after your body, looking after your car to get you to where you want to go. So, those are the main things that I think can help a lot of people.
Yeah. I like how you've simplified it. And I like so much how you have really easy analogies to kind of put them together. Because I think this is where people feel like it's so overwhelming. It's so much. I don't know where to start. You've kind of really just condensed it down And also with these analogies, it's like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. And you make it really easy to understand. I love that. I think the space in between is someone that just needs to translate what's going on between your body and perhaps like the functional side of it as well and bring it together. And I also read the aspect, which no one ever talks about, is this energetic space. I actually wanted to ask you when you first started talking about it, at what percentage do you think the energetics takes? Because you can be doing all the things and you can know what to do. But I mean, I almost feel like the energetic of it is like almost like half. It's like meeting you halfway. Yeah.
It is huge. Like I've done the last 2 years, I've also been seeing a kinesiologist and she does coaching and hypnosis and all these things. And it is crazy. We are all in our own hypnosis every day. Like some people might be like, I don't want to do hypnosis, or what are you even talking about? This is whack. Like we think that we live in one world, but we literally like one world with 8 billion people. But there is 8 billion worlds. Everyone has their own world.
Own little bubble.
Like you think, like if I accidentally picked up your phone and I was scrolling your Instagram, I'd be like, oh, this is different to what I see, right? And like we know that our algorithm on our phones change. Everyone knows that. We all have a different algorithm in our head based on everything that we have lived in our life. So when we start to understand it and unpick it, and we can be like, oh, actually, I can choose the hypnosis that I put myself in. It's not by default. I'm not going like, and that's the thing with the GPS. You know, when like your GPS is telling you to go one way, you're like, oh, no, I'll go this way. And you're like, oh, crap, I've gone that way, right? So it's like, oh, you're really super stressed and you're not paying attention and you miss a turn. It's like, oh my gosh. So it's like, okay, if we can just like really connect to what do you actually want, and then just noticing the things that might come up that are going, oh, okay, that's blocking. Like say, for instance, someone might have a belief that my mum had endometriosis, so I must have endometriosis.
Yeah.
Right? So we know there is a genetic component, but we also know there's epigenetics. We also know that you're not destined for it. So it's not a hardcore genetic thing. It's that's more like you're gonna
inherit.
So it's really going, okay, well, if you, and I'm very lucky in that no one in my family's had endometriosis, no one in my family's had breast cancer and things. So I know there's a lot of people that are more fearful of getting things because it might be in their genetic history, but there's also people that don't get things in the same family.
Yeah.
So there are genetics that play a part, but there are also, what are you focusing on? What are you fearful? And then it's like, often it will manifest.
What are you manifesting? Whether that's positive or negative.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't, like, whatever you focus on, you are getting some form of benefit from. Otherwise, you wouldn't choose it.
Mm.
So sometimes it's like, well, why is this always happening to me? When people are like, why do I always get all these dud guys that come to me and I'm like, why is this always happening? It's like, well, there's obviously something that's playing out. Like you're choosing the familiarity. I can't even, that's a tongue twister. you're choosing that because it's a familiar safety because you know, even though it's a bad thing, your body knows what's going to happen versus an unfamiliar thing that could be, that's actually probably better.
Better, unexpected.
But your body deems it as unsafe because it doesn't know. Yeah. So your body will always want to go into the thing that it knows. But if the thing that it knows is actually not giving you what you want, it's like, okay, well,
I've got
to be great here and I've got to grow and change and adapt and go this way. And go, okay, well, I think this is actually what's going to get me to where I want to go. I'm going to stop heading down this GPS route and I'm going to go this way now.
Yeah.
So it's focusing on what you want. And I think a lot of us don't give ourselves permission to say what we want, or we're fearful of what people will judge.
For sure. I mean, that actually ties into like the whole female space of what females have been allowed to do and not been allowed to do, how much research has been on. Yeah. Like it goes deep. And I think that something like what you're doing is you're creating waves, you're making the change. Like you're creating the space for women to feel safe in those spaces in between. It's awesome. Like,
and not feel like they're going crazy. It's like, no. And it, like, if anything, like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's like, that's great. Like, it's awesome. Yeah. If I haven't helped you in some way, or that didn't work or didn't make sense, tell me. Like, you don't need to apologize. Like, it's good. Like, just own it and go, okay. And that's a huge thing that I personally have had to do. And I'm like, now I can feel the difference. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want everyone to feel like this.
Yes.
Like, it's like, and it changes.
Sing it from the rooftops.
Everything. Like, everything. Yeah. It's like, we go through life trying to stay alive and then we die at the end. It's like, but the point is to be alive. Actually feel alive. And I think even now, like, some people might be listening to this being like, cringe. Like, sounds like you've just been, it sounds like you've just been at a Tony Robbins seminar and you're like, jumping from the roof.
World on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, that's so weird. Most people don't feel like that. It's like, well, maybe it's weird that we feel like, not like that.
Can we change the narrative? Can this be the normal? And we start talking about it more.
And maybe it's not normal for the people around you, but maybe you want it to be your normal. Yeah. And that's okay. It's like,
and find those people where that is normal. Yeah. Surround yourself with that people. With those people.
100%.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, because I think there's going to be a lot of people where it's like, well, Dr. Anthea is my person. I'm going to put, what do you got? You got a book, you got your female fundamentals, and also your Instagram account for skateboard.
And you can also, if you feel, if people feel like they've gone through the gauntlet of medical, functional, energetic, they don't know what's going on, or they have significant things that do need medical attention as well, but they want to address the functional and energetic, I do work one-on-one with people that do need more help. But also, I literally just launched a membership today. That is for women that are lost in the space between. If you are someone that has been to the doctor, or you've been trying to figure out what the hell to do, and you have, you're searching on TikTok, Instagram, Google, everything, and you're like, I don't know, I just feel really lost and confused, and you want to be around your people, that tribe that's just like, oh my gosh, my body actually isn't the problem, it's the solution. Like, you want to focus on those things. I have this membership on it, but also the energetic support. So hypnosis on different things, guided explorations on different parts of your body, breath works, me in there helping you understand different things with the fundamentals, meal plans, monthly workshops, all this different stuff. So it's, there's lots of things, and I just really want to make it a place that women feel safe, they can connect to their body, and they know what to do, and they've got all the resources they need.
And they can start to feel good.
Yeah.
They feel alive. Yeah. Yeah, awesome. I'm going to put all of those in the show notes. If anyone's interested, they can reach out. Well, Dr. Anthea, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I want to ask, I think in the last question, and I think we've covered so much today, and while there is not one thing that anyone can do, if someone finishes listening to this episode now, what can they start doing right now to get towards feeling better, feeling good, feeling in control?
It's connecting to your body, 1,000,000,000%. Because, I want you to hold the belief, again, looking at those energetics, hold the belief that your body is always looking out for you. It is on your side. Like, really, like, if you have been struggling with something chronically, you will need to reiterate that to yourself over and over and over again, because you have been reiterating a different story for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So helping your body, helping you understand that your body is actually on your side, and then doing that body scan, like asking your body, is there anything you'd like to let me know? Sometimes you might not hear anything, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean it's not working. You're building the muscle. And then over time, you might be like, oh, it's saying, don't go to that spin class that I booked in, go for a walk. Or, you know how we've been eating more broccoli? Maybe that's actually, I don't want to do that anymore. Even though they've said, like, it's like, it can be random, but it's just when you hear the message, then act on it. That then builds the muscle. So it's something as small as like, oh, I need to go to the toilet, I need to do a wee, and then you just sort of forget and you get busy doing something else, and then it's like, oh my gosh, I need to go to the toilet like an hour and a half ago. What's happened? So it's like, you heard the message, you're aware, and then you just sort of disassociate it. It's like, when you feel the call, when you feel the message of anything from your body, then act on it. And when you take do that action over and over, it builds. Trust me, that's what I did, and it worked personally for me, and it's worked for a lot of other people. So
yes,
chances are it's probably going to work for you.
Nice. Oh, thank you so much for being here. I hope we can
thank you so much for having
cross
me.
Paths again. It was so nice. I'll come catch you next time.
I don't think I need to tell you that your health is one of the most important aspects to a fulfilling life. Whether it's being fully active in the things you love, keeping up with your children, or walking out of the house and feeling confident in your body,
chances are, if you're listening to this, you're ready for change. But let's face it, it's not always easy. It can be confusing and super overwhelming, and everyone seems to be teaching that one thing. But the problem is, our health is not whittled down to just one thing. And until you take a holistic approach to taking care of yourself and your health, chances are you'll be missing more than one thing. That's where I come in. I work with motivated people who are ready to reclaim their health in a holistic way. And I walk them through the essential things they need to succeed. Whether you're starting your health journey or looking for the next step, you're going to see how to do things differently. To step into the role you need to reclaim your health, head over to alanabonneman.com to get started. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.